I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. What a beautiful, beautiful day. I am in a hotel room, which is no surprise to you because that's usually where I am unless I'm at home. I'm not at home, so I'm in a hotel room and I am listening to the rain pitter-patter on my windowsill, and it is awesome. I love that sound. You know, the sound of rain falling makes it rather difficult to get up in the morning, I think. Makes it rather difficult to get moving. Because I don't know about you, but rain is the better tranquilizer than anything else I know. Just simply listening to the pitter-patter of the rain. I want to share an experience that I had yesterday because it applies to a very important teaching tool. But before I do that, I want to set the background, historically speaking. And so, if you've been listening to this show any amount of time, then you know that our battle against our own government, our protest and refusal to comply, did not have much to do with taxes and had everything to do with legislation without representation. And not just legislation without representation, but we're also talking about the government mandating purchases, denial of due process, warrantless searches, and then submitting the colonists to foreign courts and foreign law. I mean, that's the nutshell of why the Boston Tea Party happened. But before the Boston Tea Party, we had these laws that were being passed without legislative representation in Parliament. And the laws had to do with the collection of a debt from the French and Indian War. And they were coming in the form of consumption taxes, like sales tax. So consumption taxes to be applied on the colonists based on the things that they purchase. Linen, lumber, sugar, tea, paper, and ink. Well, not only did they apply these consumption taxes, you know, the Magna Carta in 1215 said there'd be no taxation without representation. The colonists had no representation in Parliament. And so the government thought we can maximize our revenue from these consumption taxes by mandating that the colonists purchase these items. And then if they refuse to purchase these items, we'll throw them in prison. Well, interestingly enough, the colonists were refusing to comply. I mean, George Washington was one of the biggest proponents to this boycott, and they started an underground black market where you could buy the items that you needed, the linen, lumber, sugar, tea, paper, and ink, outside the taxed markets. And so through this peaceful protest, the colonists refusing to engage in mandating purchases, creating this underground market, left the British government in a bit of a quandary because They had to collect this debt, and they had to enforce this law. I mean, they're not going to let the colonists get one up on them, right? You're not going to show us who you are, making fun of us. We're not going to let you get around this law, even if you are peaceful protesting, and even if this law is unconstitutional, because we are the authority. Well, they were having trouble finding people to be tax collectors and customs agents because of these open protests. The Sons of Liberty were protesting these taxes openly by having mock hangings of their tax collectors and mock funeral processions of their customs agents. So they're marching down the streets with coffins in their hands, with effigies of their tax collectors and the customs agents on the side, hanging stuffed dummies of people who represented tax collectors. And so the colonists were refusing to do this job. I mean, can you imagine walking out of your home and seeing a likeness of yourself hanging from a tree? Now, we're too civilized for something like that today, but that was a protest back in 1772. And so, having trouble finding colonists to fill these positions, the British government sent over British troops. But they didn't have enough barracks built within the colonies to house all the troops needed to become law enforcers. Because, you see, they'd only planned on the troops supplementing the colonists in a defense. They didn't plan on the troops becoming law enforcement. And so Parliament passes the first in the series of Quartering Acts. And in these Quartering Acts, Parliament says that when we run out of room in the barracks that we have built, the residue of the soldiers will be housed in the inns, livery stables, ale houses, victualling houses, the houses of sellers of wine to be by retail to be drank in their own houses or places thereunto belonging, and all houses of persons selling rum, brandy, strong water, cider, by retail to be drank in houses. And so what Parliament has said is anybody who sells liquor will now be forced to house soldiers in their homes. Now, this is a big deal because in 1628, the petition of right of 1628 declared that the king and Parliament could not quarter soldiers in the people's homes. And so, you know, they're not actually officially quartering soldiers in everybody's homes, right? Just those people who are selling liquor. And so then the question becomes, why? You know, why do they feel like they can break their constitutional chartered limitations by quartering soldiers, by just simply quartering them just in the liquor salesmen's houses and not in everybody's houses? Because everybody's houses would be a clear violation. So what we have to understand then is the hold that the British government had over liquor salesmen. You see, you didn't sell liquor without the permission of the king. It was a taxed item. It was a regulated item. And so if you refused the Parliament and the king's demand that you quarter soldiers in your homes, you lose your business. It is a government-regulated industry, and refusal to comply with any government request or mandate at this point meant that you did not sell liquor and you had no business. Now, this is presented to the colonists as a temporary remedy until we can get these rogue rebels under control. So you just simply have to house our soldiers temporarily. When we get these rebels under control and society gets back to normal, then we will leave and you'll be just fine to run your businesses as normal. So the colonists were led to believe that they just simply tolerated this for a short period of time. It would be over soon enough and they would get their businesses back. But realizing if they stood for their chartered liberties, the right to be free from the government quartering soldiers in their homes and their businesses, if they stood up for their rights, they would lose their businesses forever. So what do you do? Do you temporarily tolerate the government's intrusion in your business so that when it's all over, you get to keep your business? Or do you stand for what is right, and you stand for liberty, and you stand for what your forefathers have given their lives to secure for you, understanding that you'll have to find a new vocation because you're not selling liquor ever again? Well, this brings us to date, because this is the perfect illustration of why government-regulated business is tyrannical. I'll submit to you that any legitimate regulation of your private business is already represented in some type of criminal law. If we simply enforced criminal laws against people who break them, we wouldn't need regulation of businesses. But because we refuse to enforce the law on certain classes of people, then we're sold a bill of goods that we've got to have regulations. Regulations to compensate for our lack of enforcement, so that we can punish people who we refuse to punish. And then we create regulatory agencies whose whole purpose is to create new taxes to regulate the people into submission. So if you refuse to pay your regulatory tax, then you don't get your business. You refuse to comply with that regulation, and we're going to shut down your business. Well, if it's an unlawful regulation, Chrisanne, then we'll simply protest and fight it in court. Good luck with that one, because guess what? You have no business. You have no income. And it's really awesome how the government double dips us, right? So they take your business, you have no income, you have to buy your attorney. But they use your taxes and the fees you paid to pay the regulatory agencies to fund the lawyers who will be used to attack you. So they steal your money to pay your oppressors. Meanwhile, you have no business and no money to defend yourself. Government regulation of business is completely tyrannical. And when we come back, I'll share with you my experience.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist. Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Yesterday, I had a very exciting experience. I was able to fly without being groped by the TSA. I was able to fly without being irradiated by machinery. I was able to fly with my own water without having to dump my water out and purchase the overpriced, highly taxed water once I got inside the airport. I was able to fly with more than 2 carry-on bags, and my luggage weighed more than 50 pounds apiece. I even flew with a box of books that wasn't taped or sealed properly. Why? Because I flew on a private jet. I was very, very honored and humbled to be flown from Des Moines, Iowa, to Kansas City with by a patriot who's a pilot. I mean, what a blessing for me that this patriot felt enough about what we are doing to offer to fly me on his plane. It was such an amazing experience. I got to sit in the pilot seat, in the co-pilot seat. And I was so excited. I mean, what an amazing experience. I took Dramamine because I had no idea what to expect, because I thought maybe, you know, I might get sick, and I didn't want to embarrass myself. But it was just a beautifully smooth flight, a beautiful experience, and I'm so, so humbled to be able to have that privilege. But it illustrates a point. Government regulation of business is tyrannical. Your airlines and your airports have sold you out. They have sold you out, and we don't even know it. All this TSA garbage is completely ineffective. The TSA has never thwarted a terrorist attack since 2001. They have never accomplished anything but to get the people more used to government intrusion and government obstruction and government oppression. But you know, the truth about the TSA Act, the Aviation and Transportation Security Act, which was enacted by our 107th United States Congress, on November 19th, 2001, right, because we had to have this to keep us safe after the September 11 attack. You see, this very act that created the TSA is not only a violation of our Constitution, but also a violation of itself. The Aviation and Transportation Security Act, well, put it this way, prior to the Aviation Transportation Security Act of 2001, airports and airlines were already doing this type of thing, screening checkpoints, which were contracted out to private firms, Wackenhut Globe ITS. Ticket counter agents were still asking the same questions that they ask now. Have any of the items you're traveling with been out of your immediate control? Has anyone unknown to you asked you to carry an item aboard an aircraft? As if answering a question or asking a question is going to make you answer it truthfully anyway. Well, with the Aviation and Transportation Security Act, the TSA was created to do this job, taking the jobs away from these private firms, literally just robbing them. And then, when the passage of the Homeland Security Act, the TSA was transferred under the Department of Homeland Security. Well, the interesting thing is, the Aviation and Transportation Security Act has a provision in the original bill, which is still law, that says 2 years after the creation of the passage of the Aviation and Transportation Security Act and the creation of the TSA, the airlines have the option to opt out and go back to their private firms. Well, airlines started doing that, and then the TSA started refusing to leave. No, I'm sorry, we will not honor the law that created us. We will not honor your request. And when the airport started fighting, the TSA fought back, because remember, they're government. And they fought back through the FAA. You kick the TSA out of your airports, as the law allows you to, and we will turn your airports into no-fly zones. Why? Because government regulation of business is tyrannical.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist. Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Because our government only knows power. Government only knows control. Government no longer understands morality. And does not want private industry. So we let that bull out of the pen a long time ago, when we allowed the federal government to engage in charity. And then we allowed the federal government to engage in employment of our people when they don't have the authority to do that. And now we have government killing private sector industry in the name of federal law. Why? Because, you know, the more people you have on the federal dole, the more voters you have that are indebted to the federal government. And so then you can't teach about things like limited government and constitutional government. Because in a constitutional government, there is no TSA, there is no DHS. But you can't talk about those things because we have too many people employed in these industries now. We've killed the private firms that were engaging in our checkpoint screenings. We've killed them now. And instead of having private sector, we have public sector jobs. That ought not be so. But when the government regulates the businesses, what choice do you have? Because if the government can shut you down, then what are your options? The same options that the colonists had, actually. You stand for what's right and what's true. You stand for the liberty because it's not yours. Because it's been purchased by people who came before you, and it belongs to your children. And these airlines have decided, instead of standing and taking the hard route, and understanding that they're enslaving their own children to a government-controlled tyranny, that they'd rather keep their businesses than stand. I'm going to tell you what, it's all a bunch of bullying, and bullies are cowards, right? So the TSA gangs up with the Department of Homeland Security, and then they gang up with the FAA and tell the airports, no, if you kick the TSA out and you go back to the private law firms, the private security firms, as the law permits. See, these airports simply are doing what the law allows them to do, to kick the TSA out and go with private firms. And if they did what the law allowed, because the government's nothing but a bully and nothing full of threat and power, they say, we'll turn your airports into no-fly zones. What exactly is the threat of turning an airport into a no-fly zone? I'm just wondering, do these airlines really believe that the federal government is going to send troops in and shut down their towers? Are they going to send tanks and MRAPs on the airfields and refuse to allow planes to take off? Because I don't think so. I think they're just bullies and just threats. And I think that if the airlines, fairly confident, if the airports said, you know what? We're going to follow the law as it's written. You are breaking the law. Regardless of what you say, our planes will take off. Our planes will land. Our control towers will be operating. And we will not have the TSA anymore. I mean, what would happen if an airport and an airline just went ahead and did that? What would happen? Well, one of two things would happen, obviously. Nothing at all. And the airlines and the airports would be operating under law as passed by Congress in 2001. You see, we've had a phone and a pen for a long time before Obama. Because in 2003, when the airports started kicking out the TSA, in 2003, somebody tell me who was president in 2003, because I'm thinking we forgot. In 2003... a president with a phone and a pen said, no, you will not kick out the TSA or we will shut your airports down. It's about time we start realizing that this government's been tyrannical long before Barack Obama. And so in 2003, if the airports had said, you know what, we're just following the law as it's written, you can go fly a kite because we're running our airports. One of two things would have happened. It would have said no. And then the airports would have run as normal because bullies are bullies and they're just cowards with no real bite. Because when the people stand up to cowards, we find out how weak and cowardly they actually are. Or the government would have sent in troops, surrounded the airport, barricaded off the runways, and engaged in some electronic espionage and shut down the control tower. At which point, in 2003, mind you, we would have discovered just how tyrannical our government can be. And I think we need to see that. I really do. We almost saw it at Bundy Ranch. But we didn't see it at Bundy Ranch because exactly what happened at Bundy Ranch is exactly what would have happened if the airline stood up to the TSA. And I'll submit to you, it's exactly what would happen right now if the airlines stood up to the TSA. Only problem is now we're indoctrinated, right? We believe the TSA is necessary to keep us safe. It makes us feel safe. Yeah. Feel safe to have checkpoints at our airports, but not at our borders? Wow, okay, that makes a lot of sense. How much sense does it make to have checkpoints 60 miles inside our borders, right? Because we have to have these 100-mile constitution-free zones that surround the border of the United States. And we got to have checkpoints 60 miles in, but no checkpoints on the borders. If we can afford to have checkpoints 60 miles in and harass our citizens and violate the liberties codified and belonging to our citizens, if we can justify the expense for that, why can't we justify the expense of checkpoints on the borders? Just move the stupid thing 60 miles. Well, because we're brainwashed. And if an airline tried now, 11 years later, to defy the federal government and the TSA, they would get no public support because of Ebola, because of terrorist threat, because this, that, the other. Hey, I'm just trying to tell you, we have been brainwashed into submitting to unlimited government control over our businesses. We have brainwashed into submitting to unlimited government regulation. From the milk and the cereal that we eat in the morning to the beds that we sleep in at night, everything that we touch, everything that we do, everything that we see is regulated by the federal government now. And now the Supreme Court says it's okay for the federal government to regulate the air that we breathe. Is that okay with you? Are you happy with the liberty that you've traded for your safety and comfort? Because it's all an illusion. Because if it was real, we wouldn't have ISIS members crossing borders. We wouldn't have illegal immigrants pouring into this country. We wouldn't have an Ebola crisis. We would have none of these things if this was real. It is not real. It is just control. Illusion of safety for government control. And so I want to ask you, are you happy with it? I just want to know. Does it make you feel all warm and fuzzy? And if you are, then fine. I guess that's who we've become. But if you're not, let me ask you, why do you consent? Now, I'm a big fat hypocrite, right? Because I fly. I engage in the contract with the airlines that says I will submit to this. But you know, when you're in a battle, you trade certain of your liberties to actually fight. And if I didn't trade this liberty for the benefit of my son, I wouldn't be able to teach everybody all over the country just how tyrannical this is. I know. What does that sound like? It sounds like I'm, you know, justifying. No, I'm not. But I'm trying to light brush fires here. I'm trying to teach. And if we get enough people who understand the truth, maybe we'll get enough people who will back the airlines and back the airports into standing up against this tyranny. Even though we're 11 years down the road and we've been brainwashed, it just takes one to stand. We just need one airport to stand up and say, you know what, this is just ridiculous. This TSA thing isn't working. They're not protecting us from anything. And so guess what? We're kicking the TSA out, we're getting private security, and we're going to do it right. Which brings up another question. Are you upset that the government is not stopping flights from Africa? Are you upset that we're continuing to fly from Africa, knowing that Ebola is leaving Africa and coming here through these flights? Are you upset that the government is not shutting down the flights? Well, let me tell you something. The airlines could stop flying there if they wanted to. The government is not owning airlines. These are not government flights we're talking about. These are private flights. If we're really concerned about this, why aren't the airlines refusing to fly in and out of Africa? They're private businesses. They could make that choice. Why do we always run to government to solve our problems and always blame government for our problems when we are the source of the problems by creating a situation where they're in control of everything? I'm going to cry out to the airlines. If you guys are really upset about this Ebola thing, hey, private airlines, you stop your flights. Don't wait for the government to make you do it. Show a backbone, industries. Protect your flight attendants and your pilots and the people of this country. Do your job.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist. Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Well, we're not interested in doing what's right. We're just simply interested in submitting to the government propaganda, right? Submitting to whatever they want us to believe. I talked about this not too long ago. You are 51 times more likely to die from accidental poison than from accidental shootings. But we have to brainwash people to think differently about guns, right? So we have to be more concerned about guns and paranoid about guns and paranoid about our children around guns than our children around poison. And because of this government-induced, propaganda-created paranoia and hysteria, we have a kindergarten student in Alabama who was told by her school to sign a contract saying she wouldn't kill herself or other students after allegedly drawing a picture of something that vaguely resembled a gun. A 5-year-old was given a quiz about her mental state. All this done without the permission of her parents. Her mother said, "While I was waiting in the lobby, they had my 5-year-old sign a contract about suicide and homicide." There'd have been some real big problems if that were my child. There'd have been police called. Because, let me tell you something. Suicide and homicide is not something that my 5-year-old needs to understand. And it's not something that my 5-year-old needs to understand at the hand of government. And it's not something appropriate for the government to be discussing with my child without my presence and without my permission. But we have to keep people safe with our government-induced, propaganda-led paranoia and hysteria. But what did the mother say? There should be a different way to handle this situation. If this is protocol, it needs to be looked at again. Are you stinking kidding me? They would be physically restraining me from punching someone in the face. Oh, Chrisanne is advocating for violence. You know what? I have a natural right to protect my child from this kind of thing. And God help someone. Look, this is why my child is not in a government school, and this is why my child will never be in a government school. Because when you hand your children over to the government schools, the government believes they own your children, and you simply possess them as long as you have them and they want you to possess them. One incident that goes against what the government thinks you should do, and you no longer possess your children once you enter them into the government system, and my child will never be in that system. Never, as long as I'm living and breathing, never be in that system. So you submit your child to that system, then you consent to all of this. And don't give me the excuse, well, I pay the taxes, so I have to get my money's worth. You know what? You're not getting your money's worth. You're being robbed to support the false government system. And sometimes we've got to sacrifice a little money so that our children can be saved from this type of violent attack. Yes, this was a violent attack on this five-year-old by her government school. I just want to ask you, when is too much for your child? And when are parents going to stop being so addicted to their own comfort and their own leisure and start sacrificing for their children again? We got to have flat-screen TVs and cell phones in every hand. Who likes to eat at home every night? And we got to have a vacation every year. So that means both parents have to work, and then we have to submit our children to government control and government manipulation. Is it really worth it to you? Is it really good for you? How's it working out? Because your child is next. And this is just out of control. Schools entering gender-neutral situations. Pedophiles being protected in your government schools. And now your children being attacked in this way by the government schools. No more. That's all you have to say. No more. God bless. See you tomorrow.